This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello, welcome to a brand new episode of The Dan Wotton Interview, where each week I'll be bringing you some of the biggest names from around the world straight to your headphones and opening up about her life in hilarious, emotional and revealing detail. Today is the BBC star Claudia Winkleman. Now, she joins the pod to talk about the gender pay gap for the first time, Strictly Come Dancing, and her new show with Mary Berry. Plus, she'll be taking on Shuffle, Delete, Repeat with a twist, Is This Your Life, and revealing the 5 songs that mean the most to her. Stick around too, because I'll have all of your comments about some of our previous guests, including Kylie Minogue, coming up. And if you want to listen to any of our previous A-listers, like Camila Cabello, Charlie Puth, and Meghan Trainor, then make sure that you subscribe right now. But first, let's go in-depth and personal with Claudia Winkleman. Claudia, so welcome to my pod.
Thank you so much. I don't even know. I'm rubbish. The only person who's ever interviewed me in the last 10 years was you. And I don't even know what to say, but ask me anything.
Well, I actually can't believe I got you here, if I'm honest. And I feel like a little bit guilty because I got you in a weak moment at the British Press Awards and sort of ambushed you with this request.
No, you were so sweet. Well, number one, let's discuss. We were 6 hours in. Yeah. We arrived on a Tuesday.
We're both weak at this point.
I'd eaten some grey meat that I didn't know what it was, but it was swimming in something. And you had just got up. You'd won an award. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you made this big announcement that you were leaving Bazaar. And so I came up to congratulate you. And then you said, will you do a podcast? Bearing in mind I'm 46 and I still don't know what a podcast means. I was like, I'm in. What does it entail?
So this is your first ever pod.
This is my first. Does one call it a pod?
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah. I say come into my pod.
Okay. Yeah. This is my first ever one.
Do you know what is genuinely great about a podcast? Is
go
that
ahead.
There is just no limitation. So you go with the time that feels right and you go with what subject feels right and you can listen any time. So we're recording this in April 2018, and it's possible someone's listening in March 2020.
Well, no, they wouldn't, though.
I reckon they might.
My mum might. I'll be honest. Hello, Eve. Thank you. Because, yeah, she would do that. But, okay, so I've never done that before because I do radio too,
yes,
as you know. And it's you have to hit the news. I mean, you can't wang on. I'm like, another thing about jelly babies, and they're like, no, hit it. So you worry about the time.
Yeah, because I've just started doing a radio show and you've got to be down to the
second,
don't you?
Yeah, and there were beeps sometimes. Beep, beep.
Those hard outs.
You're like, don't do it. Yeah, because I let Tess take all the hard outs. I'm really evil on Strictly. They're like, we have to hit the news. I'm like, go on, puppy, this one's on you.
It's the tyranny of the time.
Yeah.
But you have had a very exciting few months recording the new BBC show, Britain's Best Cook. And what's exciting about this is it puts you on the same show as one of your sort of heroes, doesn't it, Mary Berry?
Yeah, that's why they had me at Mary. I'm pleased that you mentioned cooking. I didn't know what it was going to be about. They were like, we're doing a new show. It's like, you know, you're just sort of listening. I'm polite. Yeah. I'm only working because I'm obedient. I'm like, yeah, nodding. All right, fine. They said Mary and I went, yep. And they went, well, no, do you want to know the premise? Do you want to know? No, it's fine. It can be about avocados. Can be about maybe she wants to, go abseiling. It's a yes.
But this might surprise people, though, because it's not specifically baking, right?
No, it's Britain's Best Home Cook. And it is only about home cookery. So there will be some baking. There will be some grilling. The food was delicious. It is not, the cooks aren't desperate to open up little restaurants or to go their own way. There is no jus. There is no frizzy lettuce. It is some people making just home-cooked, delicious food. And it was amazing with very humble ingredients. I kept on going, don't they need more? Why have we only given them a chickpea and some rock salt?
Yeah.
And they go, no, no, just wait. So I think, I hope, listen, I don't know.
Do you
People
cook
might
at
hate
home?
It. Yes, I'm unbelievably bad at it.
Yeah, I don't cook.
Oh, why? I love cooking, though.
I want to learn.
Yeah, you must.
It was actually, we had Gary Ballo on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he said the entire secret to his weight loss, well, not the entire, but the, probably the main secret of the weight loss is that he just cooks everything he eats.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's all, and also there is nothing, my favourite, I had people around for last night, I made roast chicken. I mean, sure, it'd been there an hour too long, and the potatoes were raw, but what? Who's counting? No, I think cooking is a complete joy, but I'm not nearly as good as these guys.
And obviously it's going to get comparisons to the Great British Bake Off, because Mary has not been on a show involving cooking and competition since... that one departed the BBC. Are there similarities?
I don't think so. I love Bake Off, can I just officially say. I mean, when the final's on, I cover my whole house in bunting. My daughter is obsessed by it. At one point, I had to only call her Mary or Prue or Noel. You know, she's just, we absolutely love Bake
Off. Do you love the new one as well as the old one?
Yeah, I think Love Productions make brilliant shows. So I love that. This is different. This is about home cooking and it's, well, I mean, I'm interested in what people think. But, you know, their first challenge, if I'm allowed to say that, I don't even know if I'm allowed. They make burgers and it can be their ultimate burger. Some people make just a beef burger. Somebody might do something a bit more fancy.
See, that actually appeals to me more than the Bake Off because I never bake. But whereas making a burger.
Making
absolutely.
A burger. And also, what's so amazing, I really don't want to give it up. But at one point, this lovely woman makes salmon pasta. Right? Which you and I can do. It's a piece of salmon and a bit of pasta and she put some cream in it and the other things. I don't want to ruin it all. And the judges were like, that is delicious. That's the kind of, if you come to my house or I was coming to yours, that's what you'd want to make. So there's something really compelling. It's not, there's no zhuzh. There is no, all the zhuzh is gone.
And so how does it work? Are there contestants that return each week and then one person
goes? Not only that,
yes,
they are living in a house.
I see.
So they all live in a house.
So are there some interesting interpersonal dynamics between the contestants?
They're fantastic cooks. You are going to... I mean, if anybody watches, they will fall in love with the cooks more than anything. They get on brilliantly. There is a camaraderie. There is a total lack of competition. Not in a bad way, but because they live together. They talk about food. They cook together. They come in. They have to do some... challenges, if you like, and then the person who doesn't win then leaves, and that's how it works.
And that is decided by Mary and the other judges.
Yeah, who are divine, Dan and Chris.
And they're relative newcomers, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, Dan is an award-winning, brilliant chef who started up Duck and Waffle.
What's his last name?
Doherty. And then Chris Bamin is a greengrocer, award-winning greengrocer, has done some work for the BBC and is hilarious. He's got the loudest voice ever. At one point, he started talking to me about a pippin apple. And I was like, dude, he's an expert. So they're lovely. And the three of them really work because you never know if this is going to work. And they have a brilliant chemistry. So I hope. I don't know. I don't want to take it for granted.
And so they decide. Yeah. And then you're there to support the contestants, interview the contestants.
I'm looking after them. I'm simply looking after them and I steal all their food. And
do you get to taste the stuff?
There's one point where I realised there are three cameras on me as I was inhaling. I was just using my fingers. Somebody made a fish curry. I was like, there's no time for utensils. Somebody get me a ladle. Yeah, the food is amazing. Because they're making their family favourites. What I found really interesting is, I think one of the researchers said, when these lovely cooks came in, they'd all been put up by friends and family. It's just the person you always want to go around to their house on a Sunday lunch because they're going to make the best roast or whatever. I think they were asked, how many cookbooks do you have? And all of them went, oh, maybe I might have one. They're not wannabe chefs. They just do it. They do it for kids. They do it for their family. They do it for their husbands, for their wives,
and
for their partners.
And I guess that's the contrast between...
something like MasterChef, where MasterChef they are, which is also, I love that show. I'm like, it's the most tense watch. I'm like, they're never going to get this finished. I'm sobbing. My 15-year-old has to go, Mum, it's all right. I reckon it worked. It's a souffle. Everything will work out. I'm like, hold me.
Five.
So, Claudia, each week I'll be asking my guests about the five songs closest to their heart. So maybe it was a song that made you want to become a star, or a song that reminds you of a lost family member, or it can be really happy, because we all have those songs that bring back certain memories.
I'm so excited. I could so go. This is divine. I can't believe I only have five. But
you
here
could do
we
the
go.
500. Yeah. So song one. Yeah. What's
so
your choice?
Everyone gather around. So somebody once said to me that the songs that mean the most to you are the songs where you're sort of where you feel like a grown up and you're not quite yet, and you all sing and you all sing loudly. And at university, that for me was Wonderwall by Oasis, which, full stop, is my favourite song.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realised what you gotta do.
The video, the dund, I mean, I won't sing because, you know, dolphins will cry. But that's the song. That's the one. That's rousing. If that's in the car, I don't even care whether my six-year-old is going, Mummy, can I just recite a poem? Shh, hush down. Hush down. Mummy's listening to this song. It's very important. She's opening the window and she's singing. And that is Wonderwall, Oasis, the best song ever written.
Song two.
Song two is possibly of the same kind of vein, which is Tiny Dancer by Elton John. I can't believe he's written all those. I keep on going, does he not need a lie down? Like, how his oeuvre is extraordinary. And Tiny Dancer, she's in his hand. Do you remember that line? Yeah. Not Tapao China was actually in her hand. But Tiny Dancer, Elton John, is song number two. Every time, whatever happens, I stop, I listen.
What a choice. Song three.
It's As by Stevie Wonder. So I met my husband, honestly, 900 years ago. None of what you're seeing is original. My face, no, I didn't look like this, but it was, I don't know, it was the 40s. And he said to me, I love this song, I want you to listen to it. And I was like, oh, cool, wow. And I love that song too. And we listened to it and I thought, this is amazing. I think I was like 24, 25 or something. And I was like, he loves As by Stevie Wonder. I love As by Stevie Wonder. His favourite drink is vodka and tonic. My favourite drink is vodka and tonic. Like, we should probably just get married.
And 80 years later, you're still together.
We did. So, yeah, it's got to be Stevie Wonder and As. It's a fantastic song.
Song four.
Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Can you feel the love tonight? Another
Elton. From the Lion King. I mean, Simba. Do I need to say anything?
No, you don't.
I think we're done with that.
You just don't.
Just tick.
And song five.
Song five will be Bridge Over Troubled Water by Simon Garfunkel.
Like a bridge over troubled water.
When it hits the fan, which it does for all of us at some point, that's just the song that will make you cry, make you listen. My best friend in the whole world, Vicky Corran, cleverest, funniest girl in the whole world. We've never been to a gig. We met at 18. And we have had lunch every week since that day. We speak all the time. Never in our lives. I mean, what are you talking about? We're the most uncool people in the world. And she went, look, I'm going to say something quite dramatic, but Simon and Garfunkel are playing and I think we should go. And I went, wow, this is major. Maybe it's 20 years ago. And we went and we sat there and we held hands while that song was playing. That's number five.
Now tell me about how you and Mary either bonded or did not bond, perhaps, behind the scenes. Given you're such a fan, what's your relationship?
What I think you should know, and I should probably just come out and say this, is Mary and I are now living together. We fell in love. We fell in love. And I thought it was just going to be one-sided, and I couldn't be too fangirl. I was like, is it going to be weird that I just sit on her lap? Like, I don't know. I think she can take it. But and how weird would it be when I say page 48, obviously, of Mary Berry's classic. It was extraordinary. I made the Malay chicken with only half the chili, Mary. Try it. No, so I couldn't be too weird. But she's really funny. And, yeah, really, really funny.
So are you friends now?
Of course we're friends. No, we're best friends.
Have you hung out?
Yeah, we've hung out. We text. She's so sweet. She gets very excited when she gets a text. No, she must do this podcast. You would love her.
I absolutely would.
Okay, I'm sorting it.
Because in all seriousness, though, she is an incredibly energetic woman.
Yeah.
Given the amount of work she does for someone her age. I mean, she's got the energy of someone decades younger than her.
And also, there are lots of things about Mary that I love. Her kindness. Mm. So she was so kind. So we had a lovely girl called Mia who would get us tea and coffee. Mm. And Mary wouldn't let her get her tea or coffee. And I had to sort of take Mary to one side and go, dude, Mia's okay to get you. I'm happy to make it, but just let her. If she wants to bring you a cup of tea, that's absolutely fine. No, 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 no. I'm not having any of that.
Because she's old school.
She's just awesome. Yeah, so she was incredibly kind. She's so sweet to the cooks. And they are all of us. You know, Mary has real presence. So she's warm and soft, but we're all slightly obsessed with her. Yeah. And one of the cooks couldn't directly look at her. So she would come in. Mary comes in and she's just looking at the floor. And I won't say her name because you'll see it on the show. And I was like, it's okay. You know, it's absolutely fine. And then at one point when Mary says, you've done something really good here, she just bursts into tears. Yeah. Because it's Mary, and Mary also has high standards. She's not a pushover. She knew what was good and what wasn't.
Don't you think it's something very uniquely British, though, right? That you can have one of the biggest stars on television is a baker in her 80s. And yes, she's had a legendary career, but it just doesn't happen in other countries.
Does it not? It should. No. It should. Wait, in America, I think it does. Ina Garten. People worship her.
Yeah, true.
I don't know.
True.
But Mary, what is amazing about Mary is she will have a taste. She's beyond an expert. And that's what I love in everything she does. She'll have a bite and she'll go, Now, did you season that halfway through or at the end? What? What are you talking about? It doesn't matter. It's just salt and pepper, love. She knows. She really knows about the art of cooking.
Is this your life?
You have a thing for Channel 4 news anchor Jon Snow. True or false?
Totally true.
You want to see
it. Do you think he's listening? Can I just have...
I can almost certainly guarantee you he's not listening. Sadly. But I might tweet this to him. Because you once said about him, a man that bright, who also isn't afraid of a jaunty tie, is seriously attractive.
His brain is so attractive, yeah. I met him once and got a bit flippity-jibbit. He won't remember. Please don't put this out. It was embarrassing. I sort of went... Very high-pitched and sort of started stroking my eyebrows.
Too late. The worst interview you ever had was with Harrison Ford.
Only because I was rubbish. I think at the time I was like, God, he wasn't that interesting. But that's because I was young and even more of an idiot than I am now.
At the time you said, I thought he was a bit of a cock.
Oh, I didn't say that. I would never
sure
have said that.
I'm sure you didn't.
No, please, let's erase that. I'll tell you why. Don't you think life is about expectations?
Yeah.
And I was about
to
go and interview Han Solo. I was about to interview Indiana Jones. I was quite alarmed that he wasn't wearing a leather hat. I just didn't understand any of it. Where's his lightsaber? Oh, he's an actor. Oh, weird.
Your Fringe had its own Twitter account.
Apparently, yes.
Yes, it was set up by fans, and the account is called Winkles Fringe. That's really hard to say. And it hasn't been active since 2013.
Apparently.
I need to get back on it. You were once chased across a TV set by a penguin.
Correct.
Now, this was in 2011, and
I was
for
heavily
a Channel
pregnant.
4 show while pregnant.
Yeah, I was very heavily pregnant, and it was called King Of, which is a game I used to play with all I still do. My friends, you have one glass of rosé and just casually say to somebody, King of Nuts. Oh, it'll kick off. Is it a macadamia? By the way, if anybody's
pistachio,
listening...
By the way.
P.S. Absolutely not. Not even the top 10.
Oh, so I thought you were going to agree.
Oh, you're completely
wrong. Are you joking?
You're completely wrong. I mean, it's adorable of you to have an opinion, but no. It's the mighty peanut. But anyway, and we played King
Honey roasted.
Never. Let's not mess with it. Not honey roasted. Not a maple cure.
Salted?
Yeah, of course. Salted. I mean, I'm not vegan. And we were playing, I think, King of Animals, and I think it was Sarah Millican, and she just said, I really like a penguin, and a penguin came out, and I was like, oh, that's so cute. When I'm pregnant, I'm even less normal, and I thought, I'll carry it and maybe breastfeed it, and then it chased me around.
Your mum is Vicky Pollard.
Wrong.
That's right, your mum is actually former legendary newspaper editor Eve Pollard. And your mum banned wardrobes while you were growing up.
Not wardrobes, just mirrors.
Ah, mirrors from the house.
I wish it was wardrobes. No, we had stuff to put things in. She didn't, well, banning is an exaggeration, but she didn't believe that appearance was interesting or important, which, by the way, explains how I look.
But you have carried that over into your house, though, haven't you?
Yeah, so we've got no idea what we look like, which, so if you ever see me out, I mean, I never leave the house, but if I do and I've got eyeliner down my face and my fringe is like, literally, I could chew it, and you're like, oh my God, look at her tan lines. That's why.
There's a reason why.
Because there's nowhere to check.
You once hosted a game show called Talking Telephone Numbers on ITV.
Yes, with Philip Schofield. And my only job, I swear to God, was to occasionally go, it's a 5. And I managed to get that wrong. I went, it's a 6. And they went, it isn't. Someone tell her it isn't.
I mean, this show is incredible. So it was in 1997 and viewers had to match their phone number with the number on screen to win a prize.
Yeah.
Genius.
Amazing. And the prizes were extraordinary. It was like a half-eaten apple. And people watched. I don't know why.
You once presented a documentary on toilets.
6-parter. Thank you very much.
BBC Choice 2002.
Come on.
That's your life. Obviously for you, you're very careful these days in terms of the work that you choose to do, because obviously a couple of years ago you left the film show, which was one of your best jobs, wasn't it? But you just needed some more time in your life, and obviously you've got Strictly Come Dancing, you've got your radio show, you've got your column. So was it a big deal?
And mainly 3 kids.
And 3 kids too. Yeah. Who, by the way.
No, I don't mean that in a bad way. But because I want to be home between 4 and 8. So the film show, I mean, it was such an honour. And we did well with the rating. And it was the most extraordinary show. But I was seeing 5 films a week. Mm. And the screenings are at 6:30. And you've got to go. Anyway, I mean, there'll always be a part of me that will be so sad about it. I've had to give something else up as well recently, which I'm so sad about. Sewing.
Oh, you're not doing it. The Great British Sewing Bee.
Yeah. I know. Don't say it like that, because I feel too sad.
So why did you decide that?
Because I just, well, because of just time. Because those shows, you have to do them properly. I love the production company so much. I love Patrick. I love Esme. Mm. But they're 12-hour days, if you ask anybody who takes part in it. The sewers, the crew. And it's a big commitment. It's a whole series. And I just thought, I won't be able to do it properly because I'll want to go, can I just pick up my son? And then I'll come back after an hour. Yeah. And you know that hour you're not there. Something will happen. Yep. Something will rip and you're not there. So if you're doing it, you have to do it properly. And so I'm heartbroken.
So someone else going to do it?
Yeah.
Do you know who?
Yeah.
Who?
He's going to be hilarious. Joe Lycett.
Oh.
Funniest boy in the world.
Well, in a way, it's quite good they've gone for someone quite different, I guess.
Yeah. No, and he'll be brilliant. But I am hot. It's sad.
It is hard.
Yeah.
But you obviously have to reserve the last half of the year, or the last third of the year.
Yeah.
For
dancing.
Our favourite. Strictly Come Dancing, which does just get bigger every year, which I know sounds like, I mean, that sounds like something that people just say and is not true. You know, it sounds like a TV cliche. But the reality is, what really shocked everyone with Strictly Come Dancing last year is that the legend that is Len Goodman had left the show. And so everyone was a bit nervous, to be honest, about would that have an impact on the ratings. I mean, speaking about people at the BBC,
of course,
the bosses.
Of course.
You know. And in fact, Shirley Ballas came in. And the ratings went up.
Our highest ever. And how brilliant is Shirley?
I love her.
I love Shirley.
I'm actually a bit obsessed with Shirley
Me
Ballas.
Too. Me too.
I just think the public have only just started to get to know her. She's got a lot more to give. So I'm so glad that she's coming back
Me
for
too.
Another series.
Me too. She's utterly brilliant. And as a four, they work incredibly well. And it wasn't that we didn't miss Len. We did, of course. But the show is the show. And she is a fantastic addition. I love Shirley.
So for you, what do you think the secret success of Strictly is? Because if you look at all of the other big reality franchises, from X Factor to Britain's Got Talent, they're all going down by different degrees, but each year the ratings get less. What do you think it is that makes people want to come back to Strictly?
I think Strictly, if I was asked to describe it, I think it's a snow globe of a show. It is joy. And if you've ever... I love a snow globe. I mean, I don't collect them. I'm not weird. Well, I'm just saying, but that's how I would describe it, is that you, when Strictly's on, you know Christmas is coming.
Yeah.
And it's joyful. So even if Shirley doesn't like the footwork, even if Craig is unhappy with the armography, it isn't, nobody's being made to feel small.
You're good these days, armography.
I still don't know what it means. And I think the dancers make up such an enormous part of it. The music, the band are brilliant. You know, if you've ever, you know, it's just, it pumps out. And I think people like watching people try, is what I think. Yeah. And they try together and they do incredibly well. But I never want to, you know, I assume nobody will watch this. You can't take it for granted. It might all fall apart.
So I've got some Strictly questions, which
go
I
ahead.
Have to ask.
Because
do you know what's so crazy about Strictly as well? It's now one of those few shows that people talk about all year.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah. People talk about Strictly and write about Strictly now.
Yeah.
So I've got to ask you the big Strictly talking points, okay? Number one, should there be same-sex couples on Strictly? Because this is such an interesting issue which seems to totally divide the professional dancers on the show. So Gleb, for example, came out recently. Well, he didn't come out, sadly, but he's married happily to a woman. But said he would like to be one of the first, in the first gay coupling or man-on-man coupling on Strictly Come Dancing. But then there's other professionals who say absolutely not, because it's about the art of dance between a man and a woman. Where do you stand on it?
Number one, I'm not an expert, so I'd go with the professionals, but I would quite like to see it.
I want to see it.
Do you?
I do, actually. I do. And not for tokenism. And I understand people like Rob Rinder, Judge Rinder, who I think is brilliant. And I understand what he's saying, which is that the art is between a man and a woman. Obviously, it was his choice to dance with a woman. I think that's great.
Yeah.
But I think if you had a gay man who wanted to dance with a man,
then he should be given that choice.
Then totally.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Yeah, I agree.
Shuffle, delete, repeat.
Now, this is something we usually do with pop stars who sing songs. But what we're going to do with you is choose TV shows.
Fine.
So it's three of your TV shows. You have to choose which one you would shuffle.
What does shuffle mean?
That means, oh, I'll come back to it in a bit. Which one you would delete and which you would repeat, i.e. love.
Okay.
The three choices are Strictly Come Dancing, Liquid News, The Great British Sewing Bee. You've already deleted it.
Oh, God, that makes me want to burst into tears. Yeah, so I'll keep, whatever the word is, Strictly.
Repeat.
So I'll repeat Strictly. And I'll shuffle Liquid News. But I love Liquid News too.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The other big topic, this was one that came from Gleb as well,
was
do you think the dancers on Strictly Come Dancing need to be paid a bit more, treated a bit better? Because he was talking about the fact that the dancers are actually the ones that put in the entire week's work.
I don't think... Was he grumpy?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, because okay. he's gone to Dance with the Stars in America, where obviously they're paid a lot more and they get treated like stars over there. Really.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think it's safe to say that I can tell you backstage at Strictly. Mm. I mean, we were a bit worried about when new people come because you are all lining up. Everybody, crew, dancers, celebrities, judges, you're all in the same place, getting the same food. It's nobody, there is no pedestal, there is no hierarchy.
And Claudia, there's like, people won't necessarily believe this, but there really is no glamour backstage at Strictly.
You've seen it, right?
Oh my goodness. Like, it's basically the least glamorous TV studio possible. And I don't mean that horribly, but it's like, it's
but
everybody's, not glamorous.
No, and I mean, the hair and makeup room, it's extraordinary. They do a brilliant job. Mm. Costume do an amazing job. But it's all put on screen. I if anybody's worried that a vast amount of money is spent on sedan chairs and massage areas, it isn't.
Brendan Cole, he's gone.
I know.
The original dancer.
I phoned him. I was like, Brendan.
And he didn't want to, Claudia, and he's been very honest about that, very open.
I know. I there's no way of me answering this because
you're going to annoy someone.
I'm going to annoy somebody. Yeah. So
you're not going to.
I can't. All I can tell you is I love him and I spoke to him and he was brilliant and I think there'll be lots of new opportunities for him, which I'm excited about.
There were rumours behind the scenes, and Shirley actually spoke about it, about the fact that there was a bit of tension between the pair of them backstage, and that may have contributed to the decision. Did you see anything?
No.
No, you keep away from all of that, don't you?
No, I'm having a moussaka.
The Strictly curse.
Yeah.
And also not just the curse, but the romances that happen backstage on the show. Well, do you understand why it happens?
Completely. I spend the wrap party just, you know, in Tess's hair. Of course I understand. It's very intense what people are taking. They're taking part. I don't believe in the curse. But I think that lots of people have come in single and they might have met somebody or had a little romance. But it's an intense 3 or 4 months. But on the whole, it's all fine.
What about the ones that don't come in single and have a bit of fun?
They don't. Who's done that? Name me one. Name me one.
Are you serious?
Name me one.
Oh my goodness, there's so many I could name, but
no!
I might get sued.
You see? I don't. Well, again, I see nothing of that. I'm not talking about the curse, but it's intoxicating.
Yeah.
Strictly. Because you're all part of this extraordinary juggernaut where people are watching, they're on your side, you're learning to dance. So I don't think people fall in love with people. They might just love the experience, but there's no curse.
And you and Tiz are going back? You're all committed?
I think so. I don't know. I haven't been asked, but fingers crossed.
You haven't signed on the dotted line?
No, I am going back. Yeah. We're going back.
Excellent. Well, that's a relief.
We do everything together. We do. We just text. I go, Tess, you in? She goes, I'm in. Fine.
So if Tess left, you'd
I'd
be gone.
Yeah.
Really?
I think so. That feels like the polite thing to do and let two new people start.
And it's become quite a duo, hasn't it, now?
I love her. Can I just officially say, you must love her too.
Do you know what? I actually think Tess gets a really hard time because if you know Tess behind the scenes and away from the spotlight, she's
hilarious
so
sweet.
But she's so lovely.
She's the kindest girl I know. And it's honestly, it is a joy to go into work. All my bosses, well, they're all women. So it's Lou, Sarah, me, Ted. You know, we look after each other. And she's the funniest and the sweetest girl.
Which is a great thing. And actually leads me on to another talking point, which actually has not just dominated the conversation about the BBC, but actually now other media organisations, big corporates. And of course, it is the gender pay gap. Yeah. And the BBC was the first really to have to tackle this so publicly because of this government decision to release the pay of their on-staff stars.
Which I remember saying to you that I was in favour of.
You were. You were one of the few, actually, because you thought it was public money.
I believe in the BBC. It's public money. And
there should be transparency.
Yeah. And I think that, actually, because of that, good things will happen in terms of the gender pay gap.
Firsts.
You've got to think of your firsts here, okay? So the first thing you do in the morning.
Brush my teeth.
First person you spoke to today.
Oh, my husband.
First kiss.
Husband.
First celebrity crush.
Oh, Simon Le Bon. Still have it. Tell him. Yes. Find me. Planet Earth, girls on film, any which way, love.
First pet.
Muldoon, a cat. Didn't end well.
First job.
First job was working as a waitress, was not in a cocktail bar, at Maria's Coffee Lounge, Camden.
And first person you were starstruck by?
Oh, Harold Bishop from Neighbours. Most famous one. Person I've Great ever met in my one. Life. I couldn't. You know when you like watching, I don't know whether you're much younger than me, but I used to watch movies every single day. And I can't remember why. I think it was like almost in a supermarket and Harold Bishop was there. And I mean, I was almost sick of myself.
Well, I'm actually a Home and Away guy. Oh. And I met Alf the other day. You know Alf?
No.
You Flaming Galah. And it was literally... Is probably Alf the greatest celebrity I'd ever met.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Somebody's
but I think
been
you're
in
either
your
a Home and
room.
Away man or a Neighbours man, you yeah. see. And you're obviously
Full
a Neighbours woman. There obviously was a lot of concern, Claudia, that you were the highest paid female. There wasn't concern over that. But that you were only eighth on the list. So the top seven paid stars at the BBC... are all men. And some of them, the top earners on that list, are paid twice the amount of you as the top earning female at number eight. What's your take on that whole debate?
I don't want to get into specifics, but I think it's good the debate's happening.
Mm.
I think that, of course, women should be paid the same as men if they're doing the same job. If my daughter and son both decide to become sound engineers, I would feel very strongly that they get paid the same. I didn't know where I was on the list. I found it interesting. But I also know people on television get paid. I'm not going to complain. But I'm pleased that the debate has begun and that other... And I do love the BBC and I think they will do the right thing. It will take a bit of time. It's a huge organisation. But at least people are talking about it.
And are you supportive of Carrie Gracie's movement and the other female presenters
totally.
Who have started to campaign together as a bloc?
I'm completely supportive of BBC Women, yeah.
Well, you're a great shining example of it.
But I also think, it's good that the conversation is happening. And I think also for women, it's about opportunity and things coming up. And should a female producer be paid the same as a man? Of course she should. And I think that will change. And we've seen it across so many other companies now.
But it's so funny because I'm sure you'd be the first to say you probably would never have thought you would be the highest paid female in the BBC.
No, but I also think there are lots of things on that list that we didn't see.
Yeah, it was strange. It was strange because obviously if you were an actor or an actress paid for by a production company, you weren't.
Or a presenter working through a production company or whatever it is. Yeah. So
for example, Mary Berry wasn't on that list because she was paid via a production company. So it was a complicated one. But I guess at least it got a conversation started.
You know
started.
What gets the conversation starting and started, and that's got to be a good thing.
And speaking of conversation starters, right, you sparked a huge one earlier this year with a column in Sunday Times Style where you revealed that you had quit Instagram.
I mean, not that anybody cares. I've got about four followers.
No, but people do care because this has become such a big thing. I mean, very recently, the pub, Wetherspoons, came off all social media as well. It's something people are really starting to look at. But your rationale behind getting off, Claudia, was that you got tired of feeling like you were having to show off on Instagram and actually found the whole experience of what people do on Instagram quite bizarre. Can you explain it a bit?
Yes. I've since written a column this week where I sort of took it back and I'm trying Instagram again. I've had a cull. I know.
You're back.
I know. Well, a friend of mine, Jules, who literally went, girlfriend, if Instagram is making you feel bad, that's your fault and not Instagram. So I was like, okay, I take that on board.
So you're following less people?
I'm following different people. I tell you what I felt about Instagram. It wasn't even the Instagram, the thing that you look at. Being with people who want to take photographs for social media is annoying.
Yeah.
It's weird. But I know I am an old lady. So I went out for dinner with my husband. We're 46. We're having a shepherd's pie. Nice time. Glass of red. Next to us is a table of gorgeous girls, late 20s. I mean, gorgeous, you know, They're not wearing bras. They're having the night of their lives. They keep on stopping the conversation, taking photographs of themselves, posting it, hashtag life, hashtag Fridays. And then it'll sit there in silence and check their phones. And I know I'm really old and weird, but I was like, this is no way to be, A. And B, I would look at people, and I think I said, for every person who's doing a star jump in front of a sand dune, you know there have been four other photographs.
Of course.
Know that has been filtered. You know, so we're wasting all this time giving off some nonsense life that we're not, just live it. Just live it. And it's that weird thing that my kids, I look at them, if they haven't captured it, they don't think it's happened. I'm like, just stop.
So I feel like that too. Yeah, and I think it is a phenomenon, but I think it's one that is impossible to avoid now with smartphones.
I know, but so I deleted it and I felt so happy. I had more respect for people who I love who are constantly going, yay, avocados. I'm like, come on, you got a double first from Oxford.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You're a surgeon. Don't talk to me about avocados. No offense to avocados or people who post about avocados. But, I found it slightly moronic. But then I got, and by the way, as I wrote in my latest column, I don't believe anybody reads it. You know, I sit there, I write it. I'm very grateful to the Sunday Times. I absolutely love them. It's one of my favorite things to do. It uses a different part of my brain other than just reading out loud, blah, blah, blah. Not the reading out loud, whatever. I'm going to get into trouble. But I love doing it. But I got so many messages, so many going, you're wrong, and this is what it's for, and stop following the people who are doing star jumps, but follow little art galleries and tiny businesses and great fashion labels. So that's what I'm doing. So
and
I'm
are
back.
You posting pictures of that stuff as well?
No, I've got nothing to post. I don't want to post my kids. I don't want to post me because I look like I'm falling apart.
Well, you don't, but surprisingly for someone who's on television, you actually hate getting your picture taken, don't you?
Yeah, I'm allergic. You're going to make me do it now.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to hurt the man who's here to do it. He's got a big umbrella and a camera. He's quite smiley. I mean, let's wipe that smile off his face. I can't bear it.
The last time you used public transport?
Oh, yesterday. I'm constantly on the central line because my daughter goes to school 6 stops away from my house. And it is the best line. And I feel very strongly about it. And my favourite thing is the central line Twitter account where they go, Bill here, everything's working out well. I go, fantastic.
Far too hot. Far too hot, that line. Last time you felt scared?
I'm scared all the time.
Last time you cried?
Book. Eleanor Oliphant is completely fine. I could cry now. And Little Fires Everywhere by Celeste Ng. I've just been on holiday. I read so many books and they're so moving. And I was sobbing. I was lying in bed next to my husband. You know, and, and he went, okay. Sort of patted me on the head like you would a small seal. And then it finished and I went, I need a minute. And then I was fine.
Your last argument?
I don't like arguments. I try not to argue.
Last movie you loved?
Shape of Water.
And last movie you hated?
Oh, that's unfair. I don't like to. I don't let the kids use the word hated or hate. So they have to use really quite difficult words. Mummy, I'm not keen on aubergine. Does that do? I'm like, oh no, you can hate aubergine.
Last movie you weren't keen on?
I can't say.
I want to know now. I want to know so badly. And the last meal you had?
The last meal I had? I just had a delicious, deliciously Ella ball. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, of course.
It's made from dates and almonds. Every day I wake up and I think, today I'm going to be sugar free.
We're not
ring
on the BBC,
ding, ding.
So and you then, can plug anything.
Okay, no, I went. And then at 4 p.m. I'm always like, I love being sugar free as I'm eating a Snickers. But anyway, deliciously Ella, delicious.
So is her stuff sugar free?
I think so. But it doesn't taste like it because it's full of dates.
Because I'm going to try and go sugar free.
Let's do it together.
Have you done it?
I have. Yeah, well, I think I've lasted a full day, but I've definitely done till lunch.
Look at what I've got in my pockets.
What is it?
Through this. You know, love hearts.
Oh, yeah, no, we're not doing those.
Okay.
Do you love those? Nobody loves those.
Absolutely.
You love the idea, you don't love the taste.
No, I love the taste.
Stop it. I've never met anybody. That's sawdust.
So I want to sort of get
wean yourself
off. Yeah.
What I'm going to do is send you a deliciously Ella ball because it tastes as sweet as a cuddle.
And how long have you done it for? No sugar.
Well, today. What day? What time is it? I don't know what the time is.
It's about 2 o'clock.
I've done since 5 to 3.
Well, you've done a lot better.
Zing.
Me. You don't traditionally watch TV shows that you appear on.
No, of course not. Are you mad? Would you?
Yeah,
what
definitely. Of course.
About?
Because I do not understand how you can have everyone else in your life having seen something without knowing how you came across.
But I won't know how I've come across. I'll tell you what, I'll know how I came across. Orange, screechy and annoying. I don't need that confirmed by watching it in real time.
No, it is a horrible experience.
It's a hideous experience. It's like listening to your phone. Like even if you focus on your voice, you're like, ugh. But the problem is, I'm sure watching yourself, I would learn yeah. how to be better.
That's what people always said, actually. The first time I ever did TV, the producer and director said, you have to watch it back because otherwise you'll never get better.
Mm. But I'll never get better. Great.
What about Twitter?
I love Twitter. I absolutely love Twitter. People talk about Twitter trolls. I haven't met one yet.
Are you kidding me? You're so lucky then.
I think I'm incredibly lucky, and I don't think I probably go on there a lot. And I think Twitter, so good, I'm pleased this has come out. So Instagram is now fashion world, because I love it. I mean, I could talk to you about a brogue until you openly sob. And Twitter is news feeds. So Twitter is breaking news, journalists I respect. I don't know you. Columnists. And writers.
Do you look at your mentions?
Yeah, they're lovely.
God, you're lucky.
They're lovely. Have a look at them with me.
You're so
lucky.
I
mean, some of them go, you're a lunatic. How can you see out of your fringe? Why do you look, what's with the... But they're, no, just joy. I mean, by the way, that will all change with this new show and then I can never go on Twitter again. But I find Twitter an absolutely lovely place.
Because on this podcast last year, Ed Sheeran actually... told me that he had quit Twitter because of all of the trolling, and
he became the first
major celebrity to do it. And actually, he said the amount of trolling he was getting on Twitter was contributing to him actually feeling
rubbish.
Really quite depressed. And he'd walk into a room and be convinced that everyone in the room hated him.
No,
because of the Twitter trolls.
Why?
But
that's
this
so bizarre.
Must just mean you were so universally popular because genuinely,
no,
you,
I'm not
you
universally
must be
popular.
The first celebrity who I've interviewed who hasn't had issues with Twitter trolls.
No. But also, I think I don't really tweet. I retweet something hilarious that somebody else has done because it won't be from me. And I tweet my column. So I don't think I'm very controversial. I mean, if I went on there and went, oi, egg mayonnaise, tuna's better. Or, I mean, possibly something better than that. But I'm not controversial. I only have real joy from Twitter. Like Twitter, I totally see the point in. And Twitter, you can be clever. It's words. So Caitlin Moran on Twitter, Vicky Corrin on Twitter. I mean, all of these brilliant people.
Yeah.
I love it. I learn from Twitter. I learn from all kinds of galleries, and Open Culture puts up brilliant interviews with directors and writers. And, you know, Edgar Wright, a fantastic director. He's on Twitter. He's not on Instagram tweeting pictures of his breakfast. That, I mean, Twitter to me feels like a higher plane. Am I mad?
No, not at all. Not at all. But I think that you're probably quite lucky, though, because I think the experience of most people with a high profile on Twitter is quite different.
I don't think I have any followers, by the way. I mean, I think that's possibly why. I'm really, really, you know... I don't think anybody would be interested. So that might help. I think if you're a huge star, of course, they're all going to come for you. But also, let me just say this. I don't think other people's opinion of me is any of my business.
Yeah.
I get it. When I was little, I used to sit there going, what's she wearing? Yeah. When somebody was on telly, that's absolutely fine. They often thought what I wore on Strictly was repulsive. Somebody, a friend of mine, actually said to me, you've got to do something about it. I was like, no, I like what I wear. I like the worst case scenario is, listen, love, that's not your colour. That's fine. That's not trolling.
Yeah.
They're probably right. It's magenta. You are correct. I only have one colour. It's black.
Absolutely. How are your kids?
Edible. Thank you.
Getting older now.
Yes, it's horrific.
Has that caused new challenges for you?
Yes, my eldest son has got a buzz cut. He's 15 and he thinks his mum's a loser. It's heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. The main thing he wants me to do is just not do Strictly. Mum, if you really love me, you'd stop.
Because it makes him someone who people know on the playground?
I don't know. He's just
because
embarrassed.
He just finds it cringe.
He just finds me a total... But that's the whole point. I mean, my job is to embarrass him. So I just follow him around, try and lick his ear. He's the cutest thing ever.
Absolutely. All right. So anything else coming up that we need to know about outside of Britain's Best Home Cook?
No.
So this is the big push.
Well, yeah, but honestly, if you don't like it, that's fine.
I think I'm going to.
I don't know. I can't tell. Nobody is. What, am I being doing a bad job? By the way, can I just say this?
Yes.
It's amazing the BBC have allowed me to do press. The only Ledbetter press I've ever been allowed to do was about 4 years ago. They said, can you say something about Strictly? And somebody said, what do you predict? And I said, I think it will be like a C+.
And I'm like, she's gagged.
Yeah, never speak again.
Turn around.
So you now have a minute. And you can ask me as many questions as you want, or you can ask me about your own career or anything else, my views, and I have to tell the truth.
Ah!
So it's basically your chance to get revenge
on
me.
Why do I only get a minute?
Podcast.
Where's the timer?
Them's the rules. Bradley, the producer, has the timer on.
Okay, if you could go away for a week, just you and them, which person of the people you've interviewed would you take?
Rihanna.
Would you?
Because she's so fun.
Is she?
And adorable. And lovely, and I think she'd just throw the best party in the world.
Okay, anybody could do this podcast next week, who do you have?
I would love to have Madonna to do the podcast. I've interviewed her twice before. She's my favourite interview ever because she is terrifying, but also so honest.
Whose demise would you enjoy?
Well, do you know what?
Is it me?
I hope you're not friends with her, but I think, and it's not so much about how she's treated me, although she has treated me badly, but I think the way that Lily Allen has treated certain people in the industry makes her a prime target for me on that front. And especially, actually, what she has done recently to Nicole Appleton. I just thought, what horrendous form is that?
Okay, I love Lily.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Mile High Club, Liam Gallagher, publishing it in her book.
It was our first awkward moment.
Hashtag Mega Rawks.
I've loved this. Your pod thing, my first pod. Did I do it? Was I bad in any way?
Thank you for coming in. Now, please don't leave it another 4 years before you do an interview.
Fine. What it'll be with you?
As long as it's with me, that's fine. And good luck. So do you know yet when
May
we
3rd.
Can see Britain's Best Home
Cooks? May 3rd?
Awesome.
I won't be on social media. I will be out of the country.
Honestly?
No, I won't be out of the country. I'm not J-Lo. No, but I will be. I just don't want to know.
Thank you so much. It's going to be a huge hit. And you have been a huge hit for
I
your first
you.
Podcast experience.
Bye, Dan.
Oh, my goodness. I love Claudia Winkleman. Literally one of my favourite people in showbiz. She talks a mile a minute. And actually, she's just so funny. It exhausts me. I couldn't be that funny and that on it all the time. But she's absolutely brilliant. Can't wait to see the new show. Thank you, Claudia, because, you know, she doesn't do interviews. Literally, two interviews on her own in the last 4 years. And I'm privileged that they're both with me. So I'm very, very glad that we got her on the pod for the first time as well. We've got loads more A-list celebrity interviews, though, which you can subscribe and listen to for free right now. Everyone from James Corden, Meghan Trainor, Camila Cabello, plus one of our most recent guests, Kylie Minogue. And actually, we had a huge amount of feedback about that interview. It went all around the world, actually, because Kylie spoke about the fact that she didn't want to get married and talked all about her split. She was very honest. And we had loads of feedback, including James Swin, who said to me, I wasn't keen on you, Dan. You probably slated something years ago that I liked. But I listened to the Kylie podcast, one of the best interviews, interviewer-wise, in her whole career. Personal questions asked in the best way. I just thought, wow, he's good. Well, somehow I've managed to turn you around, James. So thank you very much for that. Eve on Twitter, EveXOX, said, listening to the Dan Wilson interview podcast with my favourite Kylie Minogue is how every morning should be started. Can we make it a regular thing, guys? The Kylie and Dan podcast, what a combo. Well, of course, she said she didn't want to do a podcast, sadly, permanently anyway. We also asked Kylie, of course, about this idea of whether she would return to Neighbours because Plain Jane Superbrain, the character who was her bridesmaid, is now back on the show. And Ruth Hannah messaged in to say it would be great if Kylie would return to Neighbours. Watching the old episodes at the moment, she's so not going back. There's absolutely no way she's going back. Sorry to disappoint you there. And finally, Joseph Holmes, official, said, Dan, I hope you gave her my phone number. Well, she is looking. Single, happy, and looking. So you never know, Joseph, you might be in luck if you bump into Kylie somewhere, someday. Thank you so much to listening to the podcast this week. Please subscribe to the Dan Wotton Interview wherever you're listening
to your favorite podcast. It could be iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We are there. And we'll be back with another huge name on the next episode of the Dan Wotton Interview.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.